Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
I was thinking about doing a dog noise, but then I was like, I don't know. I'm a better at meowing.
Growl.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
It's the claw.
And it's never next
from Inspector.
Yeah, he always gets away.
Next time.
Yeah, next time.
It's like Homer Simpson. Like, what's his name? Homer Simpson. I'll remember that name. And every time he says, who is that guy? I'll remember his name.
What are people listening to?
Free Talk Live.
What number can they call?
603-283-6160.
Yeah, bingo!
What's the website if people want to learn more?
Freetalklive.com.
Okay. .com.
Or if you'd like to watch us, video.freetalklive.com.
If you'd like to watch.
If you'd like to watch, we're here to be watched.
I don't know why you would.
Call now. Call now.
Operators are standing by. By operators, I mean me.
Right. Let's go to an unscreened call.
I really like how, we've been screening our own calls here for years now, I guess.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's better that way.
It's been a while. But every now and again, you screen a guy, and then you bring him on the air, and he's like, yeah, I was talking to your screener a minute ago.
That's me?
And I'm like, yes, I am. Yeah,
I'm the screener.
I know him. He is me.
Captain Screener.
Of course I know him. He's me.
I am he.
Obi-Wan.
Let's go to the wild card line next.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. We've got Major Payne calling from Michigan.
Yes, this hour is brought to you by Dash, which has no affiliation with the...
hang on. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a tech standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. Hang on. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And a big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. And thank you, Major Payne, for reminding me to do the live read for Dash.
Brought to you by Major Payne.
You're welcome.
All right, go ahead.
I got part of the answer for how your girlfriend back in the day probably got parvo.
Well, you see, I have a theory, but I don't think I can say it on the radio.
No, that germ.
Get the dump button ready.
In the soil for 3 years.
Really?
So the turd can be totally beaten to death by rain and no longer existence, and all you got to be is rolling around in the grass and. Get a little dirt in you.
Well, that's how...
I mean, we did like to occasionally go for a roll, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey.
Oh.
Anyway, the other ones, I got a...
Tough crowd.
It's almost Halloween. I got a bunch of good ghost stories, but I just learned something I didn't know about the origin of Halloween the other day, and it's pretty interesting. It goes all the way back to the Celts.
Wow.
They used to have a... they were pagans at the time. I think this was 1100, 900, 1300, somewhere in there.
Yep.
I can't remember what date the girl put on it that was reiterating the tale.
A few hundred.
But they had this pagan god. I can't remember what his name was. But the November 1st was their solstice. You know, their big harvest celebration because of the coming of the six-month night and whatnot.
Yep, yep.
Well, one of the things that they would do is they would take the newest baby in the clan and they would smash his head against the altar, the stone altar.
Oh, sounds humane.
With God. And then the couple who was lucky enough to have donated the child would hollow out a turnip and carve some glow holes in it. I don't know if they were doing the face thing at the time, but they made a lantern out of a turnip. Okay. And that's where, at least that part of the custom comes from. But I guess this spread all the way up into lower England through the Druids and probably up into Wales, too.
So what did they carve? Like beets or something? What?
Turnips.
They carved
turnips.
Turnips.
How did that turn into carving?
Very hard pumpkins? In the middle. I mean, you'd have to be carving that thing out with a sharp spoon, digging out a little chunk at a time.
Yeah, and I'm assuming they did not draw any blood from the turnip.
Oh, I had it from the baby, probably.
Isn't that the same? Can't draw blood from a turnip or something?
From a stone?
A stone.
Oh, no, I thought there was a turnip in there.
Turnip?
Yeah, I know.
There's
a stone.
Blood turnip thing, something, somehow.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, you can't get blood out of a turnip. Yeah, that's an old saying. That might be where it came from.
And Bob's your uncle.
The baby certainly had blood, and the turnip was all you had to show for it. And that was supposed to give you pride and standing amongst the community because you had made the sacrifice so everybody could have a good harvest.
I don't understand the smashing of the baby's head part. Like, what was that supposed to do?
That's just that they're sacrificing to whatever the pagan god was.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like
bless them with a good harvest.
It's like
next
chucking
year.
Somebody into the volcano or something.
Yeah.
Like the Incas and the Aztecs used to do the same thing with their populace as children.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, crack a few eggs to make an omelet, better for everybody.
Well, you know, it's not the greatest system in the world, chucking a baby into a volcano, but it's the system we have.
I know, literally.
No use changing it. There's no use.
Well, and when you think about it, so say if there's a bad harvest that year, they're like, well, so if we sacrifice this baby and it works, then we get a better harvest. And if it doesn't work, we still have one less mouth to feed.
Right. Or so, you could say, well, it was a bad harvest. We're taking the whole family. We're going to throw them in the volcano.
It's been a long-standing
tradition.
Probably only about one out of every 10, 20 years you're going to get a bad harvest because of some kind of blight or drought or whatever.
Or poor farming technique. I mean, like human
beings.
Yeah,
come
beings,
on, rotate
right?
your crops, guys.
You know?
Come on.
I'm just saying if they were going by the odds, it would impress them. And they would say, this must be the way to go.
Don't sacrifice any more people from any more babies from that family.
Right.
Bad harvest.
Yeah. I don't know.
More abundant
Kick
family,
them out.
Please.
Throw them in the volcano.
And like, how would they decide what baby to chuck in the volcano? Like,
you know what they always do? So they have the wise man or the wise person of the village.
Wise guy.
And they're like, the wise guy. They get the wise guy. And the wise guy's like, I don't really like that guy. So he's like, God or the pagan god told me that Freddy's kid is going to be sacrificed into the volcano. It comes from the gods, a message from the gods. Really, he just doesn't like that guy. But he's the wise guy, so everybody listens to him.
Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so medical, isn't what it is today, or wasn't what it is today.
Yeah.
When it comes to, tribal stuff, chucking kids in volcanoes for harvest, right? Like, whoever thought of that logic is... Well, illogical. But at any rate, in my mind, okay, so you're this tribe. This is the thing you do. This is your tradition.
Yeah.
Right? Every year you're going to...
It's tradition. A long-standing tradition.
You're going to chuck a perfectly good human being.
Perfectly good.
I mean, maybe you won't. Like, in my mind, I'm
maybe
like...
Maybe he wasn't a good human.
Yeah, in my mind, I'm like, are you going to probably, the one that was born with the birth defect and can't walk right or can't eat right or can't hunt or, has some weakness that sort of drags the rest of the tribe down.
And I think that's the logic of it, kind of like I explained before. I was kind of joking, but it probably was serious. Like, either this works and we get a good harvest, or at best, we don't have to take care of this disabled kid or whatever. Yeah, exactly. So
kind of like the.
I don't think they would use the crippled kids because if you insult the gods with the.
Sacrifice,
you're going to tick them off.
Yeah, that's actually right. And they took that stuff seriously. Like, if they were sacrificing, like, say, a cow or a goat, they would pick the finest. Like, it had to be the very best.
Yeah, without blemish.
Yeah, without blemish. Yeah, exactly. Or else it would offend the gods, and then, you know.
Huh, so why did the civilization collapse?
Weird, huh?
Yeah. We're sacrificing all of our best food and people.
Right. But again, Steve, it's the only system we have.
Dead.
There's no use changing the system or trying to change
it. It's tradition.
It's the system we have. It's the best we can do.
Yeah.
Don't try to rock the boat.
Yeah, right.
Stay with the tradition.
Well, there's a reason they called them the Dark Ages, you know. But I got a pretty good ghost story, and this just isn't actually a story. This actually happened to me.
Okay.
Many years ago.
Get that good cough in. Like, hacking up a loogie is good radio.
My wife and I had just gotten married. We didn't have any kids yet. But she did have a stepson. Well, we just moved up north, and we were looking for a place to rent, and we didn't have a whole lot of wherewithal to go about doing it. So okay. I found this old ramshackle farmhouse that didn't look like it had been lived in 10 years. And sure as hell, that was the case. The water pipes were all blowed out and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We finally ended up tracking down the old woman that owned the place, and she agreed to rent it. And I told her I'd fix it up for the first in security.
Okay.
You know? And which I did.
Seems fair.
But there was just one bedroom at the top of the stairs that was always cold. We made that little Dennis's room. We didn't know it at the time.
Was that the sacrifice? Was that the sacrifice?
Oh, come on. Quit being a wise ass. It's all scary.
Yes,
so you put him in a cold room.
Nice.
This ghost used to turn the light on and off in the room just sporadically. You never knew when he was going to do it. And every now and then you'd hear creaking on the stairs and whatnot.
Spooky.
And it was weird, but we just kind of didn't know what to do about it. Well, one night we're all sitting down at the dinner table, and you remember them old pull knob TVs? It actually took about 7 pounds of force to pull the knob on it.
I sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had one of those, and this damn ghost turned the TV on in the middle of dinner.
Well
that was enough. I was fed up at that point. So after supper, I went upstairs, and the light was on.
Yeah.
And I turned the light off, and I sat on the bed, and I says, you know, when I found this place, it was a tumbleweed hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to fix it up to make a home for my family and for you, evidently. And if you don't knock it off, I'm going to pack everything up, and this is going to go back to tumbleweed hell. Well, all the stupid crap stopped happening that
really?
Night.
Really?
So you can't actually reason with the spirits.
Well, sometimes, I suppose. I guess it depends what kind it is, right?
I
definitely believe in all that stuff.
No, no, I have had long and drawn-out conversations with spirits. Right? All of the Glens, Glenlivet,
yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Right.
Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, yep. Jameson, yeah. You know, long, drawn-out conversations.
So now I have to ask you guys, do you believe in afterlife or spirits? Ghosts, anything like that, demons, angels?
What I believe is that I am not smart enough to know the answers to those questions.
Yeah.
It's a good answer.
Yeah. I'm probably the same. I mean, okay. I mean, I don't disbelieve anything. I mean, anything could be
like,
true.
I've seen some things that, like, could be construed as supernatural.
Yeah.
However, none of them have conformed to any sort of repeatable model.
Yeah.
Right. So
you can't study it,
I can't be like, that was definitely a ghost.
Yeah.
Right? So I you know, or that was definitely some sort of supernatural interaction.
I think I've just heard so many stories, and I've had, you know, some creepy encounters myself.
Yeah.
Nothing has happened to me that I'm like, yeah, like, crazy overwhelming evidence, right? But I have heard some stories from people that is like crazy overwhelming evidence, and I think to discount every single one of those people as crazy, I think is unfair. Some of the things, like, oh, maybe we can explain this, some of the things, like, definitely cannot be explained. Like, those people had, like, very real vivid experiences with something.
Well, there are clinical definitions for things like you know, you hear voices in your head talking to you, right?
Yeah, okay,
And yet, this is also the definition of somebody who's been filled with spirit and is communicating with their gods.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, there's malevolent spirits and benevolent spirits.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that humans are weird, and like there might be some humans that are all about, yep, this happened to me. I'm telling you what I saw and what happened. And then there's other people who are that. Crazy.
I've been to about four different houses that I can tell you about that, but they were haunted, and I've had weird things happen. And all I can logically do as a human is draw on the information that's been presented to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the crap I hear, what I see, and what I know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Major Payne, did you change the circuit breakers in the electrical box because the lights were flickering?
We didn't have circuit breakers. Right. This was the old dynamite fuses.
Fuse.
Post a knob.
Yeah. Put a penny in there. And you.
Back in the day, you could take one and pull the fuse out when it blew and put a penny behind it and get two for the night.
Right, right. The penny would just, exactly. Well.
Yeah, you're just making a conductor.
Yeah.
Hey, Major, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, Major.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got something
as far as, like, ghosts and all that kind of stuff, this borders on somewhere between spiritual and supernatural, right? I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it because whatever I say, somebody else is going to say, no, you're wrong, or somebody else is going to be like, oh, my God, I did that, too. And, I don't want to join a club. I don't want to be part of, you saw it, too, man, you're in our club now.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I don't.
The survivors.
I have no desire to interact with people who may be crazy.
Yeah.
Right. This is why I tried not to go around government facilities.
Yeah.
Right?
But
because
these guys
are all possessed
with the spirit of
quote patriotism unquote, right?
Well, that's something you can see. I mean, I guess some people can see into the future. They probably have some other dimension that's running through them, or there's frequencies of light that other people can see that other people can't.
People are, some people are more sensitive to things than other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Light, touch, heat, all that kind of stuff. So, I can't say for certain that there's nothing out there, right?
Yeah.
In fact, it would be probably a poor exercise in, brain work to say that because there's no way to know. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I maintain an agnostic stance as much as I can when it comes to these types of things.
Yeah, just, I don't know. And I liked your answer where it's just like, I don't know. I don't have enough information.
It hasn't happened to me. I couldn't.
In either direction,
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I am with most things, like with God, spirituality, all of these universal uncertainties, even space, like things that maybe have been, proven by science. I haven't really seen that with my own eyes. I might believe it, right? But I'm going to take it with a grain of salt still. I'm open to it. And guess what? Whether space is real, whether the Earth is flat or it's a globe, things like that, that actually doesn't really affect my day-to-day life right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to invest. I feel like some people, especially with the flat earthers, they become so, overwhelmed with this thing, and they have to make these Facebook groups, and they're fighting with people on street corners, and it's like, one, most people think you're absolutely insane, so maybe, chill with that.
They become
and
de facto
two,
religions.
Yeah, and it's just why does this thing matter? Even if the Earth is flat, well, they're lying to us. They're lying to us about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Why is that the thing that you're stuck on?
I'm more concerned about them lying to us about, reasons to go to war.
Yeah.
Exactly,
for example,
things
right?
that
That's
are,
more
like,
important.
Affecting us, right?
Right?
Or,
more chlorine in the pool.
I want to know, what's in the food and what's in the water supplies.
Right, right,
that's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about, what's going on in my community or the things that, actually affect us.
I personally have not been able to observe the Earth as flat or not. Right?
Yeah.
No.
Now, that doesn't. No, what do I believe? I believe it's not flat. Right?
That's
I believe
kind
it
of
is,
yeah, what
it
I'm
is
leaning towards.
It's orb-shaped and, that kind of thing. Now,
no, all the other planets are round. Earth is flat.
Well, the other planets aren't real.
There's no carbonation in the ocean.
All the other
Didn't
burgers
you listen
around.
To the Red Hot Chili Peppers song?
Which one?
Californication.
Yeah, I don't know.
The moon landing was made in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Basement.
Yeah.
No, that was done in London.
Foggy London town.
Yeah. What's the name? Kubrick did that. Oh, here we go. The phone board is lighting up. If you think Stanley Kubrick filmed the moon landing in London.
You got to do this at the end of the
show. Is it London or Hollywood?
Well, no, I think
London.
It was London.
Those are your two options.
London.
then the
they
the
couldn't
Shining.
Afford it. They actually had to film it in Canada.
Yeah. Well, if you, there's a website about The Shining, which was also done by Kubrick, and there's all types
the
of the Shining. There's
yeah,
all
movie?
Types of little clues in The Shining that they bring out. Like there's, you know, six cases of 7-Up because
yep.
there were seven rocket launches, but only six went up because one was.
And then we're really reading into this here.
The Geminis, the twins, and then the rocket ship, which is the rug that's hanging on the wall. I mean, there's all kinds of them. And then
I'm not
Danny had
taking
the,
that as evidence.
Yeah. You've really been down that rabbit hole.
Oh, I've been down
that
rabbit
hole.
Yeah,
it's like going on vacation.
You know, people go to vacation here, they go to vacation there, they go to there. They get little flavors of all the different you know, countries. I get different, you know, different things from different
countries. I've been down the rabbit hole of different things.
There's more than one rabbit hole, though.
There's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah,
no
call in now.
If you're on the internet, call in now. 603-RABBIT.
Yes.
That's not the number.
If you've seen The Shining, call it.
That's not the number. 603-283-6160. So, with regards to...
Did we ever get to the Ferrari?
We did not.
Oh. Coming up after this.
We should mention the Ferrari, I guess.
You've teased it. Come on.
This from Bitcoin.com. Ferrari starts accepting crypto payments for luxury sports cars.
Wow.
No, cool. It's not Lambo time, all you... Bitcoin bros out there in listener land.
Ferrari.
That's been the thing, you know. Yeah, and then when Bitcoin moons, we Lambo. Right?
Have any of them Lambo'd?
I don't know.
Don't think so.
I have not seen any libertarians with Lamborghinis.
No.
They probably wouldn't drive one anyway.
But
I absolutely would.
But if you had one, A, you got to have a garage, right? You're not going to buy something like that and not have it in a garage. B,
hopefully you have a nice house before you're buying a Lamborghini. But no judgment. I'm a car person, so I get it.
Totally crap house
as long as there's a garage. Okay.
As long as there's a garage that works.
I would never own one because the property taxes would be too high. I don't want to pay the property taxes
On
the Ferrari?
On a beat-up farmhouse?
No, on a Lamborghini.
Oh, property tax.
Or sales tax, whatever.
Sales tax, yeah.
Whichever one
luxury
of them, yeah.
tax, whatever.
That's why you have to buy it in New Hampshire.
Well, yeah, and then register in Montana.
Yeah.
The Montana plates.
Your 04 Lamborghini.
It's still worth $150,000.
Probably. That'll, you know.
I'm trying to remember what kind of car it was. It was a, I don't even know, it was, you know, like a Ford Escort or something, right? Somebody bought, like, one of the first ones, right?
Yeah, something really fancy.
Maybe it was a Chevy Citation. It was whatever. It was like
Chevy Citation.
Yeah, it was like one of the first front-wheel drive cars. I just happen to know that the Chevy Citation was the first front-wheel drive GM car.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a little piece of history.
But it wasn't. Somebody bought, like, it was the Ford version, whatever.
Yeah.
And they, like, drove it into their basement as their house was being constructed and then finished building the house around it so the car could never leave.
Wow. That's hilarious. Why?
And it was in mint condition with, like, you know, 1 mile on it or whatever.
Worth millions.
So, yeah, years later, collectors. Wow. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. The new Speaker of the House says a standalone funding bill for Israel will go on the House floor this week. Louisiana Republican Mike Johnson's comments were echoed by Texas Republican and House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Michael McCaul.
Because the need is so urgent now in Israel. Start with Israel first and then deal with the other as a separate measure. We'll have that on the House floor this week.
On Fox News Sunday, Johnson said he called on President Biden to separate bills to provide aid for Israel and Ukraine when he met with him this week. Florida Governor and GOP presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis says better mental health oversight was needed in connection with the accused gunman in last week's mass shooting in Maine.
He clearly had problems. He was involuntarily committed. He would have been a prohibited possessor.
Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, DeSantis said a reported mental health intervention for suspected shooter Robert Card wasn't enough. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's me, Captain.
Steve Vlasic.
And Nikki.
We're all very understated right now.
No.
I don't know why. We're just doing stuff.
Talking about Ferraris.
This is just the vibe.
We're going to talk like this for a while. I don't know why.
I don't know.
It's Halloween.
Because if we talk like this, it'll be too loud. That's why.
Free Talk Live.
So, Free Talk Live listeners, before we get to your calls, we are asking you for a favor.
Please.
Perhaps even two favors. Go to freekeen.com, scroll down to the article about how to write letters to Ian Freeman while he's in jail, and write him a frickin' letter. Same thing for Aria. Go to ariadimezzo.com.
Don't use crayon.
She's.
Don't use crayon, no. Type it, you write it with a pen, blue or black.
On Aria's website,
cursive.
It's just right there.
Yeah.
Like how to write her in prison, what her, you know, how to address the letter properly, what her inmate number is. And
she loves letters. I'm sure Ian does too.
They both do.
Letters are fun.
If you You know, even if you're like, well, I don't know what I would say. Like,
say whatever you want. Who cares?
You know, call it a journaling. Just imagine you have a pen pal and, you know, write something. Send those guys letters because they're, well, they're in prison.
Yeah.
So it's really the least you can do. If you've enjoyed the show over the years that they've been the hosts and the founder and all that kind of thing.
If you appreciate the activism that they did to and the sacrifices they made.
Yeah.
Should probably write them at least saying thank you and showing some appreciation. If you feel that, if you feel appreciative.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
So.
Might cheer them up.
If all y'all could do that.
All y'all.
We would appreciate it.
Thanks, y'all.
Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We've got Max calling. Max, where are you calling from today?
I'm actually in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Are you guys able to hear me all right?
Yep. Hey, yeah. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. I hear you guys awesome. I'm using my new Sony Bluetooth headphones.
Cool.
So I didn't know if they were better or worse.
No, it sounds good. Normally we have bad luck with people using Bluetooth and like headphones and stuff like that.
I do hear just a little bit of something in the background, but I'm an audiophile, so we're fine for the radio. What's on your mind?
Oh, so this Halloween, October 31st, they have scheduled the ranked choice voting vote for people who believe in voting and people who just vote third party and independent. Ranked choice voting is important because it lets you rank your candidates, so you get a three-way race or a four-way race. People can, let's say, list the Libertarian candidate as the first choice, the Constitution Party is the second, the Green Party is the third. However they want to vote, that's up to them. There's, as usual, there's some resistance from certain people on the committee, but we also have a lot of support for ranked choice voting now
on
House election law. My preferred one I've called before about this is approval voting. And approval voting just lets you mark, you can mark any candidates. You don't rank them in order. There's nothing to figure out. Fargo, North Dakota, and St. Louis have approval voting. But in general, anything is better than first past the post. So if you're a believer in the third party movement or independent candidates, or if you don't believe in third parties, that's an important one. You can just call anyone on the House Election Law Committee and ask them to support. I believe it's House Bill 345.
Okay.
They'll know what it is. It's only three votes. There are only three bills coming up on the 31st on Halloween.
Is this for primary voting, or is this for the general election?
So I believe the way that they mentioned it to me is that it would be for all elections in general. I think that the presidential primary is the one that really needs something like ranked choice voting. So I don't know if I think only a couple of the well-known Republican candidates on the presidential side support re-legalizing marijuana. But, they're generally, in my experience, Republicans are generally pretty good on other issues. But when it comes to ranked choice voting or it comes to sometimes even to drug policy or sex workers, anything controversial, they tend to avoid that stuff.
I have a question about ranked choice voting.
Okay.
What do you do when all of the candidates are rank?
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm only half joking, right? Like, the thing that
I've
most...
I've had races where there were three. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing I most dislike about the act of voting is, first of all, I was not a part of this process where people decided that that's how decisions were going to get made. Second of all, I find that voting is just a popularity contest and a ridiculous way to choose somebody who's supposedly the leader of whatever the local government, the national government, et cetera, and so on.
How are we supposed to choose them?
So, well,
if you don't like voting,
none of these options take into account that everybody could suck.
Yeah, right.
And they're probably all ugly.
Right, and so that's what I mean about with ranked choice voting. You know, does it have an option for when all of the candidates suck?
No, you can write in Mickey Mouse, 50,000 people a year write in Mickey Mouse. You can write in Ron Paul. I think that Ron Paul also gets like 50,000 or however many votes every year, just write in Ron Paul.
So it's no different from the regular voting. You're stuck with the lesser of two evils or whatever it is, five evils, depending on how you rank your candidates. Okay, I got it.
Well, but under this, you can vote Ron Paul is my first choice. Then you could write in Gary Johnson. That's my second choice. Then you could write in whatever, Frederick Douglass is your third choice, if you wanted.
RuPaul.
Frederick Douglass.
RuPaul. Or RuPaul Newman.
Well, yeah, you can write in whomever you want. You can write in any candidate. But my point is, I believe that it's your ballot. It's kind of like a letter to the editor. Your one vote isn't probably isn't going to swing anything bigger than a state house race, although we get about a dozen recounts every year in legislative races.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, sending it one way or the other, or winning or losing, whatever. You're not going to win because you're not on the ballot. I mean, I've won because I was on the ballot, but, you know, most of the time when I go in and vote, I'm voting, I'm telling everyone, it's like a letter to the editor, you know, this is the Liberty candidate. Yeah, he doesn't have any, you know, chance, but with approval voting, Rehnquist voting, instant runoff voting, you can vote for, like, the Libertarian or Constitution candidate as your first choice, and then you can vote for somebody else as your second choice.
Okay.
And what's the point? So it's like, oh, not like a wasted vote. You know how people say that, oh, you can't vote third party because they have no chance and mm-hmm. it's a wasted vote. This way, you know.
Yeah, but your vote is wasted no matter what you do because if your guy wins on the recount, then there's going to be some status thugs or lawyers or whatever, and they're going to be like, well, let's throw this out and try to do another recount so we get our guy.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, other than on legislative races, which, you know, we all know legislative races actually affect your daily life way more than some presidential race.
Yeah.
I think that the presidential, you know, the presidential races kind of suck. And I don't even know. I was going to endorse one of the candidates for president because I'm a former state rep, and people have been asking me who they want. You know, who they should vote for.
I'm not asking.
Or but people do ask us when we're the current and former state reps because they know that we spend more time in it. I haven't found any candidates who are like really full on about supporting ending the drug war. You know, re-legalizing marijuana. I respect people who support decrim, but I think objects should not be illegal. Things mm-hmm. should not be illegal. Marijuana should not be illegal. Firearms should not be illegal. Objects, we shouldn't be sending people to prison because they have something in their car,
right?
Or they have something in their pocket, or they have something in their house.
Yeah, possession, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And if you look at the vast majority of people who speak out consistently about police corruption and prosecutorial misconduct and whatnot, they eventually get targeted by some crooked prosecutor or who knows, Department of Justice or something, and they go after him.
Shut them up. Like the FBI going after a talk radio founder. Yeah. We're familiar.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's another one. I was another one. But what I'm telling you is I think the victimless crimes really are at the core of so much of the corruption in our political system.
Oh, by a long shot. Yeah,
every
absolutely.
Time, But I think that really is the core, as much as, you know, warfare, as much as the tax system, as much as the IRS going after people.
I mean, to me, the problem with corruption is that the system itself is corruption, right? Because three guys can't have more rights than one guy, right? Two guys can't have more rights than one guy. 100 guys can't have more rights than one guy. So where do these politicians get these extra rights from just because they won a popularity contest?
They're officials.
So, in the same way, I think, who was it? Maybe it was Cal Pratt who said, I view voting as strictly an act of self-defense and nothing more.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's strictly about my, or as a constitutional conservative, it's my responsibility to vote, to do something, in the same way if we were ever attacked by communist China or something like that. So it's our job to take up arms in defense of our country. In the same way, it's our job as free-thinking people to go to the polls, March, November, September, November. They might move the state primary up to August. I don't know. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Your state primary vote's way more important, which is why LibertyBallot.com is so important. But I've actually found some Liberty folks who'll vote in the state primary.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with you on
they won't show up in November.
Right, I'll agree with you on voting as could you know an argument can be made that voting can be effective as an act of self-defense. So we have that. It's also a very effective platform for people who want to spread the message of liberty. So, you know, Ron Paul, that kind of a thing, right? Even though he never won, Ron Paul made more anarchists than any other candidate has ever done. So, hey, Max, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you. Let's move on now. Let's go to we've got Greg in New York. Greg, you're on Free Talk Live. Greg in New York, are you muted?
Are you there?
Are you there? Greg, are you there? Greg, will you please pick up the phone? Yeah. All right.
I don't think so.
Greg, something's wrong, so if you can hear me, call us back. I want to go back to the voting thing for just a minute. When did voting, like, become a thing for governments, right? Because
probably pretty recently, right? Because before that system, like, before whatever.
Well, it used to be like religions and like kings.
Yes, you were like born into it. Right? You know what
and
I mean?
There was no vote. It was a monarchy.
No,
right?
It was,
you know, that kind of a thing.
The firstborn son, usually, of the pre-existing king. Mm-hmm. It was just,
right.
And I would say, hereditary dictatorship. That's worse than democracy. I think so.
There's an argument to be made that a benevolent dictator would be the best way if you're going to have government.
Yeah, at least it's somebody's.
Unless
like,
you don't
at least
like
they're
them.
Like taking well. Somebody's opinion into. The other way, it's just like, oh, we just worship this guy blindly just because he has royal blood and he's like super inbred or whatever. But at least if you're voting, it's like, okay, well.
I mean, like.
You're still forcing your will on somebody else, but.
Right. That's my point, and that actually violates the non-aggression principle. So voting in that respect violates the NAP because you are forcing your opinion.
Or, I don't know.
Or you're getting together
like
with
dramatic.
A bunch of other people forcing your opinion on the minority of people, right? Because that's how voting works. Right?
Yeah, I don't know if I would call that a violation of the NAP.
49. Are you forcing your opinion on other people?
Yeah,
yes,
but it's not
are.
like
that's
physical
That's a violation
force.
Of the non-aggression principle.
I mean, you could have two sets of laws, you know, if you look at it as two parties. Like, I voted for a Democrat. Well, I want to follow what my congressman is. I don't know how that's possible, though.
Well, and like,
yeah, it'd be tricky,
Democrat
but
president.
It could be possible. Like, I want to live my life this way. You want to live your life that way. We don't even right. need laws. Let's just skip that part. Let's simplify it. Just do whatever you want. Just don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. Yeah. Boom.
Hey,
I fixed it, everybody.
No voting
I
involved.
Fixed the government. Yay.
Let's try this one more time. It's Greg in New York. Or is it?
Hey,
he's here.
Andy's back.
Welcome.
Andy's back.
Andy's back.
All right. Welcome,
I'm back,
Greg.
Davey. I'm back. Your fellow anti-war libertarian here. Just all the sectarian violence, it's insane. And it's all because of state aspirations.
Right.
So let me work backwards from today. No, let me work backwards from, like, this hour. So I just see on Twitter, a large group of black Hebrew Israelites have attacked a group of Palestinians and far-left anti-Israel protesters in Chicago. The black Hebrew Israelites are a black supremacy group which believes that the Afro-Americans are the real Israelites. This is a tweet. Happened right now.
You know what I've never heard, Greg? You know what I've never heard? A large group of rebel atheists have have attacked from their stronghold. Sorry, I just had to put that out there.
I mean, yes, and then there is, of course, the Muslims in Dagestan, which is a Russian province or a Russian republic in the Caucasus.
Okay.
They have been a mob of people looking to spill some Jewish blood, find the Jew. They have broken into the airport recently, and I think they have found a Jew. Again, this is... just going on. The sectarian violence is inflamed. And so this is what I wanted to call in and talk about this time.
Yeah.
Imagine sending weapons to a region, and the region has, groups that want to use those weapons for their different goals. Well, this is the history of how these conflicts start.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying why I was against flooding Ukraine with weapons.
Yep.
And some of those weapons ended up, by the way, in Hamas hands. There's videos of weapons sold in the black market.
Well,
and
when the U.S. left Afghanistan, didn't they just leave a whole bunch of stuff behind?
It's supposed to blow it up.
Yeah, we're the ones that funded a lot of the Mujahideen, which is a general term for, you know, essentially a Muslim fighter to spread Islam against others, attack. But here's the thing, is that we, you know, flood the region, and so does Iran. Like, you know, it's not just us. Iran and some of the Gulf countries were helping Gaza by sending them weapons. Does that make the civilians any safer ever? No, of course not. And the militant groups are the ones that use the weapons. They disarmed everyone in Gaza. They took their guns, and no civilian can actually stand up to them. But, of course, they get all the weapons. So it's like, foreign meddling, sending weapons to a region, and they're like, whoopsie, look at that. They're using their weapons in the wrong way, or maybe the right way, depending on what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
But the loser, the civilians. The losers are always, and then,
always,
you know.
Yeah, like, always.
Yeah, they shoot the rockets. Let's say they shoot the rockets at Israel, and Israel responds back to the place where they shot the rockets from. Lo and behold, they had women and children right in that area. Wow. And it's like, I don't think these groups whose leaders live in Qatar and other areas sipping on champagne while this is happening, they never seem to be in that area themselves, right?
And they also don't care. I think they don't care if, like, civilians and if there's, like, other casualties. They don't care if it hits a hospital. They don't care if children die. They really, they don't care.
That attitude comes back home, too, with people who are incessantly trying to be correct on the Internet, more correct than their friends are. Or,
no kidding.
You know, getting these long diatribe arguments on, you know, Twitter or any other social media. That sentiment is just like, look, if you're so concerned about the situation over there, and you think you know what to do about it, get your ass over there.
Go do it.
Get on a plane, buy a ticket, pack a bag, and go.
And you know what? And I think this is true of a lot of different wars. People, like, it's almost like a spectator event. Like, it's like a football game to some people. Yeah. Like, it's not real. A lot of people are commenting on it like it's a joke. Right. And I think... And it always really disgusts me, and it never really bothered me so much until recently. I think until this, like, recent war. Maybe I just didn't notice it or see it. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. But it's really been sickening for me to see some of the comments. And I'm, you know, maybe I can't take a joke or whatever, but it's really disturbing that people are on the internet joking about women and children. I mean, not like women are better than men, but joking about people dying.
Yeah.
Like, this is real. This is affecting people's lives. Like, this is a horrible, awful thing. And to act like, oh, well, I know the right answer, or I know the right side, or to make jokes about it. Like, I saw one girl posting, like, some, like, slutty outfit, and she's like, if the girlies get drafted, this is what I'm wearing. Okay, well, if you wear that, you're gonna be dead pretty soon. You know, it's just stuff like that. Like, maybe I'm losing my humor. You know, obviously she wasn't, there was no ill intent by it. She was just trying to make a joke, but it's like, there are people dying right now, and you're going to post some picture like that? And it's just like, come on. Like,
it sounds like you might also be anti-war, like Greg.
Yeah, I think so. Possibly.
You know, as we come of age, I feel like I lose faith in, like, half the human race. When I see people, it's like their only concern is, like, are you pro-group A or are you pro-group B?
Right.
And it's like, you're such a monster because you are pro-group B. And it's like, you guys are both, like, talking about dead civilians, like, yes, our team is winning. And it's like, dude, like, stop flooding the area with weapons. That's part of it. That's a huge part of it.
Right.
It always precedes the conflict, and the conflict is always worse for the civilians. So it's like, yeah, I'm on the side of civilians every single war, and every single war is like, hey, what about the civilians? And the reason I start to lose faith in a lot of humanity is when they're like, F the civilians. They, you know, it's their fault for living there.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous, right?
Well, like, in the United States, I mean, we can't, like, what can you really do? Well, like you said, except for, like, go over there and start fighting for a team. You can't really do anything except see the news and try to figure out what everything is. But I think the other thing you were saying is, like, what happened, like, people were attacking each other in Chicago. Or if you look at, you know, the violence that's happening in Brooklyn because people are taking sides.
Right.
It's like its own little Israel-Palestine war in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
and how is that helping?
They were doing something in, San Francisco, too, or a bunch of protesters flooding the streets.
Protesting in the United States helping anything? And it's not going to change Biden or whatever, whoever's holding the puppet strings.
Right.
It's not going to change their mind about what the money is doing or where it's at. You know, like, I don't know. It's just not. It's making it worse here, and it's bringing the conflict and the unrest here.
Right. But if that gets
it's not
hot,
positive.
But if that gets hot and it starts, you know, spilling over from these protests and shootings, and really gets, you know, now you've got, you know, police, and then you've got, like, maybe National Guard keeping it. That boils over into other you know, parts of the country.
Absolutely.
And then who knows if there's sleeper cells here? Who knows? That's another thing.
And look, it might be the libertarian in me or the anarchist. Well, I don't care which flag is over which territory, pretty much. But the solution that could work is always the same. It's like step one, ceasefire, stop shooting and killing people, civilians, get the most of it. And then two is involve a bunch of countries and do something called diplomacy and arguing.
Right. Yeah.
And right. Courts.
Wouldn't that be use great? Courts.
Yeah. And discuss, like, and you know what? It's not the end of the world if one group decides to have its roads named after something or have a flag over there. If that's the only difference and it's an administrative change, like road signs get changed, that's great. And they can have freedom, you know, of movement and free trade. But if you don't do anything and all you're talking about is Group A versus Group B and how could you be on the side of Group B, then nothing ever gets solved. And I think that's what people are still in the 21st century, is still in that mindset.
Hey, Greg, thank you for the call. We appreciate you. Greg is spot on. I'm anti-war. I have been near as long as I can tell. I remember Gulf One, right? Bush One,
right.
was heading things up at that point.
Yeah.
And that whole, like, draft scare came around. I was draft age around Gulf One. And
but they'll never be able to pull off a draft. They've got to do it. They've got to do something that'll get people, like,
oh, never
like
say 9/11. Never.
Well,
I mean,
not never, but yeah. it failed miserably.
Swipe of a pen, and, they could just be like,
yeah,
okay,
could,
there
they
is.
Could do it, right. But I think the people who will volunteer after something happens in the quote-unquote homeland, yeah, like 9/11, like, yeah, I signed right up after that. Those Arabs,
I'm a
blah,
patriot.
Blah, blah. I'm a, yeah, and then, yeah, you know. Waving, everyone's waving flags, right. And so something's got to happen to the United States to suck us in. You know, it's got to be another Pearl Harbor style thing, another 9/11. It's got to be another false flag
another
here
Gulf
in the U.S.
Tonkin.
Gulf of Tonkin, USS Liberty, whatever. I mean, you just keep going on and on and on. So something's going to happen in the United States to get people yay rah rah USA USA, and people will sign up and they'll do whatever.
It's so sad.
They're being tricked into it.
It is so sad. I remember. They showed, whenever Desert Shield changed to Desert Storm, right? It went from defensive to offensive, right? They rolled out a bunch of, people in their pickup trucks, the cheerleaders, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's sickening me. We're out of time. Thank you to all of our callers. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Steve Plasek, for joining me tonight. Thank you to all of our listeners, of course. If you missed any part of tonight's program, please find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks, and peace.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.